Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Praise God. Everybody say forevermore. Evermore. Good morning, Gateway. Isn't it great to be in the house of God today? We got some rain outside. But you know, Pastor David, as we were worshiping, I just really sensed Apostle C, and I hear the Lord saying that there was great anticipation, great zeal, great excitement in the courts of heaven when the God-man came, because there was an invasion of heaven on earth for God to bring his salvation, all the things that he had promised, all the things he's desiring. And I sense today that that same zeal, that same passion from the heart of our loving Father is here today for us to experience what it means to know his presence, his grace. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, receive today and know that what I have come to do, I will do and finish what I started in your life. For I am the God that came, and I desire to come into your life, into your homes, into everything you do. So irrespective of all the tension, the pressure, the terror around the world, know this, I am Lord forevermore and forevermore. As you walk with me, I will walk with you and guard you, protect you, guide you, and fulfill what I promised in your life. If you believe that, let's give God praise on a Sunday morning here at Gateway.
Presence in my heart, how vital and important it is that God came near. Aren't you glad that God is near you today? Amen. Jesus is God coming near us, and he's with us. I wish I could say every day was easy. I wish we could say there's no terrorism in the world. I wish there were no disease in the world, no heartbreaking news, no tragedy. But in a world that is marked by those things, We remember exactly what Pastor Chris is prophesying. The Lord is coming near us, and he is present. A lot of people are worried about Christmas presents. What are they going to get under the tree? But I'm grateful for God's presence. That's Christmas presence for me, that he is with me. I want us to pray together, because there are people here today that are just going through life's hard times. I just want to read a quick verse of Scripture. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Everybody say, fear not. God is with me. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? Death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. I got a call yesterday from Priscilla Samora, precious elder, part of our staff for many, many years, and her daughter, Jerry and Randy, who have been in the church for years and years. Jerry got a terrible call, a call that nobody wants to get, which is that her husband had passed away suddenly, just went to be with the Lord. And I know that there is a heartbreak. I want us to pray for the Vicente family, for the kids, and for whatever you might be going through today. Wherever you might be hurting, the Lord is near, and he will bless you and he will touch you. Can we just pray for the Vicente family this morning and for all those that need a touch from the Holy Spirit? Father, we just come before you today and thank you that you are with us and that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. We look around in the world and we get sometimes so sad about things that happen. But Father, thank you that in our sorrow, you are present and you are here. And Lord, I pray for the strength of God to fill the Vicente family, that you would comfort their hearts. And Lord, comfort everyone who's carrying a burden, who's having a pressure, a problem, or a need today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, take our pain, lift us, Lord, to a new place of joy. And we ask that you do this now through the comfort of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Everybody say, God is with me. God is near me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
That's pretty much what you prophesied, I'd say.
We're on the same page.
Amen.
Hey, Gateway, let's give a shout out to this choir. Isn't that awesome? You guys did awesome. The band, the brass section.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody, here in the sanctuary, if you're joining us online
or if you're in the cafe right now. Really excited about sharing a few messages with you during this month of December. And by the way, let's say thanks to Apostle C for a great Sunday last Sunday. If you were here, he rang the bell. I'll tell you this, I was in Clovis. Maybe that was mentioned. I was in Clovis with our outreach church down there in the Fresno area, and they're in a brand new facility. They've moved, purchased new equipment, and taken a huge step of faith, and it is so much stronger than I've ever seen that church. I tell you, Kathy and I really enjoyed ourselves there. We had a little bit of a Christmas miracle there. I asked the pastor just before the service, how's the church doing financially? Are you guys keeping up, and is everything okay? And he said, well, actually, we're in the red, about $8,000. So I asked him for permission. I said, you know, I'm your pastor, and I love this church. Let me talk to the church and see what'll happen. So I talked to the church at the end of my message, just for about 2 minutes. And I said, you know, we've absorbed a lot of extra costs in moving the church, and we're a little bit behind. And actually, Pastor Sam had not gotten his paycheck for the last two pay periods. And I said, we need to fix that today. We need $8,000 roughly. And in about 2 minutes, $7,800 came in, and the church emerged victorious from that. So that was great. And it's just a time to give. It's a time to be on our mission. It's a time to think about this great gospel. And it's a time for us to be Christmas people. And people of generosity, people of love, people on a mission, people that understand the incarnation, people that know about the good news of Christmas, because Christmas is good news for people. Today, I want to talk to you about the comfort and joy that we have as Christmas people. I love that song that Bobby and Nicole just sang. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Does anyone here need more comfort and joy today? I've got good news for you, because I believe the Lord is about to deliver a big load of comfort and joy right into your heart, and I believe God's going to bless you through this message. Father, we ask that you would just bless this time in your word. I pray that you would speak to people. Give us exactly the word that we need, Lord. This is a unique group of people in this service. You see the hearts. You see their needs, their hurts, their dreams. I pray that you would bring them, Lord, something straight from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If we see the birth of Christ the way we're supposed to see it, if we truly understand what Christmas is really all about, then comfort and joy are ours. I want to unpack that for you this morning and share and talk from my heart about when God became one of us and what that really means for every single one of us. Did you know that Christmas really is the story of God becoming one of us? Think about it. The Bible is clear about the story, and you heard a little portion of it read earlier in the service. The miracle, the mystery of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born into the world as a tiny human being, a baby. We know the story. Christ was born as a baby. But I want you to think, he was a tiny human being. And this is exactly, though we struggle to wrap our brains around it and really understand how could that possibly be, that is in fact what the scripture reveals. Let me share a few verses with you. John chapter 1 verse 14 explains that the word became what? Human. The word became flesh, became human. The New Living Translation says, and made his home among us. God became one of us. It says about Jesus, he was full of unfailing love. How many are glad his love doesn't fail? Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what we've done, or his love never fails. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Christmas is the story of God the Son taking on human form. Fully God and fully man. This is more, in fact, than just the Christmas story. It's one of the pillars, one of the cornerstones of our Christian faith. What I'm going to share with you today might surprise you. It might alarm you. You might think, Pastor David is really losing it now. He's gone off the deep end. Or you may never have heard this before, but I want you to understand something about Christ and the miracle of Christmas. It is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. Paul the Apostle agrees with what John says when he writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Watch this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What? The man, Christ Jesus. That Jesus Christ was human. That the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and he came as a mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. And this reveals the mystery. How can God the Son be human? Why would he become human? Why would the Word of God become flesh and dwell among us? When Jesus was born, he wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a phantom or a spirit. He was planted inside of Mary's womb. He grew, he developed, he formed. And a moment came where he was born. And he was born as a human being. Why? Why would God need a flesh and blood body? Why couldn't he just come and read to us from a scroll? Why couldn't he just drop a message? Why couldn't he just explain to us who he was? No, he came as a human being for one reason. And I want you to think deeply about this. Jesus acquired a body. The Word became flesh so that 33 years later, that body could be nailed to a cross so that he could give his life and shed his blood. And that body would also rise from the dead, proving that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? So that that body could become the right offering, a just payment for the sin debt of the world. And that Christ could die in full payment for the sins that you and I have committed. This is why Jesus was born into the world. This is why he took on a flesh and blood body, which he absorbed on the cross. He absorbed the sins that were nailing you and I to a fate of lostness in a vast eternity. The penalty of sin was death, and Jesus absorbed it. Now, that's wild, right? But there's more. And I want you to understand, not only was Jesus fully human, but he never left in that process of being born, the Christmas story, he never left being God. Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. How many are still with me? Hold on, because I'm going somewhere. We're going to put a ribbon on this present. Okay, you ready? Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. He gave up his divine privileges. Did Jesus cease being God when he was born? No, but he set them aside. He pushed pause on that divine condition and was born as a, say it with me, a what? A human being. Oh my goodness. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest, to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Though he was born a human being, that's the Christmas story. Though he was born human, he never left off being fully divine. And at this moment, his name is above every name. And that he is Lord. Praise his holy name this morning. Hallelujah. Now, that can be hard to take in. How is it that Jesus Christ could be 100%, and watch this because it's true, Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% human at the same time. That is hard to understand, but that is the clear teaching of Scripture, and it's part of the mystery. Now, if that is true, and I'm here to tell you that that is true, and that that is the core of the Christmas story, at least theologically, you might say, well, if Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, if he was fully human and fully divine at the same time, that's interesting to know, Pastor David, but what difference does that make in my life? I mean, how does that really help me? How does that bring me comfort? And how does it bring me joy at this time of the year? Well, I'd like to explain it to you. And I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into the experience that we have as human beings, what I call us believers, followers of Jesus Christ, as Christmas people. We are Christmas people. And this experience that we're going to talk about throughout this month of being Christmas people involves, number one, Christmas people experience true joy. Everyone say joy. From the very beginning, the Christmas story was a story of joy. The announcement that Jesus was being born, that God was becoming flesh, a Savior was being born, created not just happiness, not just mild interest, but created exceeding joy. Why is it so interlaced? Why is joy so tied to the birth of Jesus? I mean, okay, he's a beautiful baby. We're glad he came. Peace on earth, yada, yada, yada. But why does that make us so happy? It makes us happy when we understand why Jesus came. That we who are lost in death and darkness are now entitled to eternal life. That brings joy. People who were utterly hopeless. This is not just the birth of some baby, some special baby. This is God intersecting our world. This is God interrupting our world and saying, I'm here. I'm near. I hear your cries, and I'm solving your problem. The great dilemma of how people, fractured, broken, failed people, could be reconciled with a holy God. To understand that a Savior is being born, specifically one God and one mediator between man and God, Paul says, the man, Christ Jesus, who comes to die for our sins. This brings us joy. It makes me think about the story of Father Damien. Let me take you to the island of Molokai just for a minute, since it's so cold and rainy outside. Go with me to my second home in the state of Hawaii for a story that illustrates what I'm trying to stress this morning. As a young priest, a man named Joseph Damien de Wooster left the comfort of his home in Belgium to serve lepers on the other side of the world. The island of Molokai is beautiful, and I've been there several times, but the disease of leprosy, not so beautiful. Leprosy begins usually in the fingers or the toes, and it attacks, destroys the flesh, it moves to the ears, it moves to the face, the eyes, the nose, and eventually takes a person's life. So facing the task of serving 700 lepers who were exiled, out of society, banned and sent to the island of Molokai, Father Damien, as he would become known, soon realized that these poor people, these desperately broken people, were not just spiritually needy, but they were morally and emotionally needy, physically needy. Now, not just filled with leprosy, but they're marooned and forgotten by society. They turn to alcohol and all that alcoholism does to destroy the body and the mind. They turned to confused sexuality, trying to live however they could. And Father Damien is trying to reach them, and he's trying to bring the good news to them. He's trying to show mercy to them, but he's struggling because he realizes that he is actually not one of them. He's from Belgium. They're from Hawaii. He's a priest. They're common people. And most importantly, he is healthy. And they all have leprosy. So he does his best for a number of years until one day everything changed. And Father Damien looked at his congregation of lepers and said to them very quietly, "My brothers and sisters, today I have become one of you." And he realized that the disease had infected him also. And it started in his fingers. And then it began in his toes. And it moved to his face and his ears. And he continued to serve the people of Molokai for 4 years until April 15th, 1889, when he passed away. Why am I telling you this story? Because it illustrates perfectly how God became one of us. God the Son is born in Mary's manger, a tiny human being infected with being human, taking on and becoming a person just like you and a person just like me. And the essence of the Christmas story and the main reason why we can be joyful today and we can be comforted today is because God became one of us to save us from despair. He came to break into our hopelessly lost condition and to break the gap between us. The gap that says, how could God love me? How could he understand me? What could God offer me? God has never felt what I have felt. He's never been where I have been. God is perfect, and I am broken. How can I be saved? Now you understand that Christmas is more than just a baby being born. It's more than just Christmas trees and gifts. It's about the incarnation. It's about how God took on flesh, God the Son, to become one of us, to be near us, to understand us, and deliver us from the hopeless condition and the despair. I think if there's anything that could give us joy today, it's to know that despite how messed up we are, God sees us and understands us and loves us exactly as we are. How many agree with that? And I hope that you will recapture that missing element of joy in your life, to understand that God really, really, really loves you and really does care, and he really understands exactly what you're going through. And that brings us comfort and joy during this time of the year and all year long. I think we should recapture joy. And I talk to Christians all the time that because they don't understand what God has done for them, they have no joy in their life. They're thinking constantly about what they would like God to do for them, but they haven't taken a minute to stop and think what God has already done for them. Joy is something that was established in your life when Christ loved you and died for you. And the ups and downs, the hills and valleys of your life, you lost your job, you got your job. You lost your marriage, or you got married and then you lost your marriage. You had something and then you lost it. And that is the human experience. That's what happens. But it doesn't change the joy that we have in living and understanding that God loves us and he came for us when we needed him the most. I hope that God will restore to you, as David said in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many are glad you're saved and you just said, thank God I'm saved. Thank God he understands and he knows me. So Christmas people experience joy. That's what makes us unique, and it's tied into the story of Christmas. But Christmas people also experience deep comfort. And I believe the Holy Spirit, I believe God has brought you to this room today because he wants to infuse into your pain, into your loss. God wants to infuse an element of his own comfort, the comfort that only comes by the Holy Spirit. You're a Christmas person. You understand who Jesus is. You understand why he came. And so you get comfort. Look at what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4. The J.B. Phillips translation says, let us hold firmly to our faith. We have no superhuman high priest to whom our weaknesses are unintelligible. In other words, Jesus isn't an alien from another world. It's not like he never sat where you're sitting. It's not like he didn't. He's not Superman from another world. He is a high priest who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities, the scripture says. He himself has shared fully. Everyone say fully. He has shared fully in all our experience of temptation, except that he never sinned. He was, after all, fully God. But it says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with the fullest confidence. Let's approach the throne of what? Grace. With the fullest confidence that we may receive mercy for our failures. Anybody here ever messed up? Three of you. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm. Has anybody here blown it really bad in your life? How about more than once? Keep your hand up. All right. So here's what he's saying. If you understand who Jesus Christ is, in that he was fully human, meaning he was touched by everything your life has been touched by, that he understands that, therefore we can serve God and we can come to him. He understands. He knows. We can approach him to receive mercy for our failures and grace to help in our time of need. Now let me push you just a little bit, and now we've established that Jesus was fully human and fully divine at the same time. Let me just push you a little bit, and please don't think your pastor has lost his mind, but think deeply with me about what it means for Jesus to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, to be fully human. Did you know, for example, that Jesus needed to rest? You ever think about that? Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his days here on earth, got angry? Did you know that? He felt mad sometimes. Did you know that Jesus felt sadness? That he felt profound sorrow? That he even grieved when people that he loved passed away? John 11 says he wept. He was a human being, just like you. Did you know that Jesus got stressed out? Did you know he felt pressure? The expectations of people around him weighed heavily upon him. Did you know that he struggled to accept the will of God in his life? Did you know that? And did you know that he even had a hard time getting along with his family members? Some of you think, oh my God, the family gathering is coming. I can't go through this one more year, right? But stop and think about what it means to be human. Because none of this is glossed over in the New Testament. It reveals clearly that Jesus had all of these same experiences. But we struggle with this, and some of you are thinking, why is he telling me this? I don't want to hear this about Jesus, because somehow we equate being human, listen carefully, we equate being human with being sinful. We think being human is wrong. Because you have to be perfect in order to please God, right? But God didn't create you perfect. And he sure didn't create me perfect. But can we please God? You better believe it. Can human beings be loved by God? Can they please God? Can human beings be holy and acceptable in his sight? Yes, they can. And I want to set you free from the perfectionism, what you thought in order to serve God or for God to be happy with you, that you would have to be like Jesus in the movies. You know, like perfect. Every hair in place, calm all the time, never angry, never feeling anything, never fussing with his family. That's Jesus of the movies. But the real Jesus, if you actually read your Bible, was something totally different. He never left his divinity. He was fully God. He never sinned. But he was sad and he was tired and he was weary and he felt the pressures and he felt the expectations and he struggled with what God was asking him to do. And if he did that, that brings me comfort because guess what? I have the same struggles in my life. I get sad. I wrestle with God. I get stressed out. I feel the weight of responsibilities. I go through everything. And to be able to turn my eyes to Jesus and know that he knows exactly that feeling and that he does not. And we think, man, if I was really saved, I wouldn't get irritated. If I was really saved, I wouldn't be annoyed with traffic. If I was really saved, I would love the sound of a screaming child in Costco. You know, I would just be peaceful all the time. My husband would never drive me crazy. My wife would never put me out of half down to my last nerve if I was really close to God. Oh, I'm ashamed of being human. Turn to somebody right next to you, look them right in the eye and say, don't be ashamed of being human. That's all you can ever be. You're just human. And you know what? As saved as you are and as lovely as you are and as spiritual as you are and as angelic as you are, on your best day, you're still going to be human. And you know what? God knows that about you. And you know what else? He still likes you. The incarnation brings us comfort. Because we understand that we are human and we can serve God from that place. And I receive comfort every time I remember that I don't have to be perfect in order to serve God. There's a little something called grace. How many are glad for grace? I think this changes the way we deal with each other too, don't you? Because you're married to someone who's only human. And you're sitting in a church next to someone who's only human. And you're being served by a pastor who is only human most of the time. So we go easier on each other. We go easy on each other. Stop expecting your child to be perfect. He or she will never be perfect. Stop expecting your spouse to be perfect. They're human. They got the same disease you got. But it's okay. Let me push this just for another 30 seconds because I really want to land this. Let's understand who Jesus was. I'm going to read to you from Max Lucado and a passage I found that he had written. It said, for 33 years, and please don't get mad at me because Max Lucado wrote this. For 33 years, Jesus would feel everything that you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He got colds, burped, and had B.O. His feelings got hurt, his feet got tired, and his head ached. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out of his eyes. Pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There is something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, predictable. But for heaven's sake, don't do it. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the muck and mire of our world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas story is God became one of us. He got near to us. He knows exactly what we're going through. And he is fully capable of saving us and healing us and giving us joy. He understands intimately. So when I turn on the news and I see people went to a Christmas party and they got shot up, 14 or more of them killed, and I feel sad, or I get bad news, or I fail, or I disappoint myself, or I feel stress, or I feel pressure, or I feel anxious about being around people that make me nervous, I'm comforted because I know that Jesus went through all those same things. He felt those pressures. And brothers and sisters, I gave my heart to him because he understands me, because he loves me as I am, and he gave himself for me. It fills me with comfort, and it fills me with joy. So I say to us again, God rest you. Merry gentlemen, relax. Take it easy. Have peace. Remember something. Let nothing you dismay. Remember that Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, the news, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to lift your hands and rejoice that there is a Savior, fully God, perfect, never sinned, but fully human. Father, I pray for your people right now. I pray for those that are struggling with the human experience. We're not somehow sinful just because we're imperfect. Lord, I give you my sins. I give you my fears. I give you my needs. And I ask you to sweep into our world, Lord, once again by your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for saving every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas message. And I pray for people that are struggling today, people under pressure, under anxiety, people experiencing terrible darkness in their life. Thank you, Lord, that you came for us in the midst of that. Let there be comfort and let there be joy in our hearts today. And thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. He has the name that is above every name. That at his name, every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Lord, you reign today. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify you for your awesome power, for who you are and how you came for us, Lord. May your name be glorified this Christmas. May you reign forever and ever and ever in Jesus' name. Now we're going to sing. I want you just to follow Pastor Nicole. We're going to have a prayer in just a moment, but let's rejoice in who God really is.
Let's sing that beautiful song again now that we know it. He shall reign forevermore. Let your praise be loud today. Shout it out from the mountaintops. Jesus Christ, you reign. Let's sing it out.
He shall reign.
That's it.
Forevermore.
Didn't stop him from being fully divine, and he shall reign forevermore. We're going to bring this service to a conclusion. I want my friends on the prayer team just to come. A few of our elders and intercessors and ministers are coming right now. And if you came today thinking, you know, I would just love to pray with someone, then there will be people that will be right up here after the service to talk to you and help you however we can. If you need healing prayer today, if you're sick, something's wrong, if something's wrong at home, you just want to check in with someone, we'll pray for you. The feeling that you've had several times through this service is something that only God could do in your life. The Holy Spirit is touching you. You felt drawn to Him. You felt, I want to know Him. I want to be close to God. He wants to be close to me. The way we get close to God is in prayer. And there's a prayer that's up on the screen. I want to invite you, whether or not you're a part of our church, maybe you're not usually here, but I believe God brought you here. And I want everyone to be able to freely join into this prayer and talk to God and use this prayer as a way of reaching out to Him who is reaching out to you. To say this prayer out loud together would be something I believe God would hear, and I believe it would change your life. So let's say this prayer, everyone together, all over the auditorium. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. For too long, I've lived without comfort and joy. Forgive my sins and flood me with hope This Christmas, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I boldly declare that I'll never be bound by despair again. In Christ's name, amen. Merry Christmas to every one of you. God bless you. Kathy and I love you. Our elders love you. We're glad we could be together with you today. If you're going to join us in the welcome weekend, you can move out of the auditorium just in a moment or two. Go to room 201 and I'll meet you there. The rest of you, God bless you. And hey, if you're hosting for Inspired Life and you haven't signed up yet, please go to the table. We're looking for you to do that. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.